I'm broadcasting from Southern California today, where homelessness is a growing problem. In this state, there are about 134,000 people without a home on any given night, according to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. We met with a homeless couple in Orange County, a couple from Nigeria, who had fled their country after the terrorist group Boko Haram targeted their family. They and their four children, aged 1 to 14, sought asylum in the U.S. and ended up at a shelter run by a local nonprofit called Pathways of Hope. We're going to use their first names only because they're worried about retribution from people back in Nigeria. We spoke in a small office inside a house owned by Pathways of Hope. Michael is a medical technician, Elizabeth a nurse. But when they arrived in the U.S., Michael says they had trouble finding work because they couldn't get certified by the state.
So, but when we came, the whole thing was not as fast as we expected it to be. So, and you know, when that happened, we begin to lose courage. Not until when we met a friend who tried to help us within his little resources. From there, we went into an hotel when he couldn't, because he couldn't take us into his apartment due to the policy. So we went to the hotel for a while, and when money ran out, we couldn't afford it anymore. But we just have to gradually, you know, adapt to what we have, because we don't even have the resources to get. So, but sincerely speaking, we haven't given clothes half now, because we have more than enough. You could imagine that we have more than enough through the, you know, the Pathway of Hope, you know, the three stores. We've been there at least on two or three occasions. We've been there to get good clothes. The trousers I'm wearing nice from there.
And yeah, you've got a nice pressed shirt on right now.
I don't think yours is even better than mine.
So no, I don't think so.
What Pathway of Hope has really done for us, and they've given us hope.
Absolutely. They've really given us hope. I must confess, because at a point I was, you know, weeping. I couldn't take it anymore. And my husband was like, we just have to survive. We will survive. He really encouraged me, because I couldn't take it anymore. We have kids. And thank God, these people, I don't know how I can really express it. I'm really getting emotional right now, but they really helped us. They really helped us, yeah. They've given us that hope. We almost lost hope. We're like, are we going to be on the street? Is this how we're going to live our lives? But they gave us the hope. And here we are.
How are your kids doing?
They're doing great. They're really, really doing great. They're all in school now. Thanks to them. They're in school. They gave us the resources, gave us the contacts. They gave us the backing, support letters, and all that. Whatever we need to make sure they're in school and they're well taken care of, you know. They're really doing great, and they are happy and glad. They are so appreciative that they could get a better life.
What would you want people to know about what it means to be homeless today?
Well, it's really hard. It's really hard, I mean, out there. And it's not a good thing to be homeless. It's really, really a very, very bad thing. It's really bad to be homeless, and it's difficult. You are exposed to a lot of harsh conditions. You get hungry, and you don't get any comfort, nothing.
We started our interview with Michael and Elizabeth outside on the porch, but had to move into the shelter's office after tree trimmers started working nearby. Michael said that ability to have peace and quiet is a luxury homeless people don't have.
And I also want to say this, you know, when you came in here, we were about to have an interview outside there, and you said that place was noisy, it was inconvenient. That is one of the indications of being homeless. Those who are homeless doesn't have a place to lay their heads in comfortably. We were not comfortable with the environment outside there. You could wonder who those who will be there permanently. If we don't have this place to come in, what do? We have to use what we have. So most of them that are out there cannot even think straight. Cannot even think straight for themselves. Cannot even think of what can I do to improve my life, because being homeless is like being dead. Edgewise, you are not there. You know, emotionally, you are affected. Everything. If you check them, you run out a diagnosis on them, you know that, look, it's not a good thing to be out there, because the environment is not friendly. Even the police are not friendly.
So what's the plan? What's next for both of you?
Yeah, I think, like I told you, we are professionals, and we're sticking to that. We believe that we have a lot to offer. As a medical technologist and as a nurse, we have a lot to offer to the United States. From what I've seen, we have a lot to offer, and all we need is to do what we need to do in terms of getting certified, doing the necessary programming, the necessary examination. The moment we do that and we are able to make it, then I think we are good to go from there. Of course, you know, being homeless, you cannot do that. But I'm happy for the part of what we have taken us in, for us to be able to concentrate and read and study hard, because it's really hard. It's a different thing from what we came with from our country. The practice is absolutely different. So I think that is the way forward, and that is the major way forward for us.
So 6 months from now, if I was to talk to both of you, what will you be doing?
Probably I might be in a hospital setting or a private sector, practicing as RN, I believe, and I pray to God. Amen. And my husband too, practicing as a medical technologist, as it's been called here. And we having our own permanent housing and being able to give back to the society.
I think also, you know, California is a very wonderful state. I've been authorized to go on and write my professional exams. If I had been in a place like Maryland, I would have been in the hospital setting now. Because all they need is they want to see if you are qualified to practice in the United States, even before taking the exam. And the moment you are qualified to take the exam, you can be absorbed in by any organization. What we call training on the job. So it's easier for you to even pass the exam. But in California, you dare not do that. You cannot do that. You have to pass the exam first. When you pass the exam, then you're going into the practice. So having the authorization to do that, I think I am believing God within the next 6 months you come here. I think we should be able to do well. We don't have a dumb brain. We can assimilate. So I know we can do it, and we will do it.
Let's bring in Jill Replogle, who is a reporter who's been covering homelessness for KPCC here in Pasadena. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jeremy.
And when you listen there to Michael and Elizabeth, you hear people who are educated. You can't see it, but they're well-dressed. But they're homeless.
Yeah. To me, what their story really illustrates is, you know, what experts say is it's so important to get people housed quickly. You know, the man talked about sort of sinking into that hopelessness. And when people go unhoused for a long time, that just gets worse and worse. And a lot of the things that people complain about street homelessness, you know, they associate things like alcoholism. Mm-hmm. That comes from the trauma of being on the streets for a long time.
How bad is the problem in California right now?
Let me give you an example. You know, up until a few months ago, there were about 200 people sleeping in tents in a plaza right next to the main courthouse in Orange County and next to City Hall in Santa Ana. So, you know, people saw this every day when they walked past. You know, that encampment has since been cleared, but you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't encounter people pretty much on a daily basis sleeping in parks or asking for money on sidewalks.
And is it getting worse? And if so, why?
The single biggest reason is the lack of housing. I mean, first of all, yes, it's getting worse. The lack of housing in Southern California, and especially the lack of affordable housing. You know, a lot of people haven't yet recovered from the recession, even though that was a while ago now. But rents have risen sharply, and, you know, more people keep moving into the area, and there's just not enough housing for everyone, let alone those whose salaries can't keep up with those market rate rents. And the second big factor is that local governments haven't gotten really serious about addressing homelessness until pretty recently. There's historically been a lot of pushback against shelters and housing for homeless people, and that continues today.
And there's a lawsuit in Orange County currently before a federal judge in California. Tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, this case came about when Orange County officials sought to clear out a very large homeless encampment, up to possibly 1,500 people, that had been growing for many years along a flood control channel, kind of right smack in the middle of the county. And advocates sued based on a federal legal precedent, which says law enforcement can't ticket people for sleeping outside in public places if there's no realistic alternative for them, you know, if there's not enough shelter space, basically. Orange County officials ended up giving 30-day motel vouchers to about 700 people, and then from there work to get them into shelter and more permanent housing. We don't actually know how successful those efforts were because they haven't really kept track, but the case really forced the county and cities in Orange County to get serious about opening more shelters. There are several new ones expected to come online by the end of the year, and the judge is watching closely.
You've been looking at one particular project, an apartment complex for chronically homeless individuals, but it is controversial. What are people saying about that project?
You know, a lot of the kind of typical concerns that it's too close to parks and schools, that it will draw more homeless people to the neighborhood. A lot of people are concerned about the idea of knowingly having people with mental health and substance abuse histories as neighbors. Here's what some said at a city council meeting.
I don't want 80 people that need security and mental health services living this close to my neighborhood.
We have enough going on with the homeless that are leaving their needles, their drugs, their messes.
We are not going to stand by and watch you ruin our neighborhood more and let this come in. We will sue you.
I want to be clear that those sentiments don't necessarily reflect, you know, the whole neighborhood, but loud, angry constituents scare local politicians and, you know, angry people start recall campaigns.
That is Jill Replogle, who is a reporter with KPCC here in Pasadena, who's been covering homelessness. We'll link you to some of her work at our website, hereandnow.org. An important topic. Jill, thank you.
Thank you.